Well, let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you that we can gather. Thank you for the reminders in the Bible, Lord. We sometimes even want to complain about being reminded, but how we need to be reminded. And another prayer today on complaining. And Lord, that's kind of like the last thing we want to hear about is exhorting us not to complain. I'd rather be praise. But there's so much to be thankful for. And Lord, we can look at anything and either look at it as a big problem or we can look at that as such a great opportunity. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you've done it all for us and you have given us cups that overflow. How could we want more than you've given us? No possible way, really. So lead us now in this time as we look at another prayer this morning in Jesus' name. You know, when we were going through the book of Job, I think we had 24 chapters on trying to tell us, don't be a miserable comforter. And about the third of those 24, I said, I got it, Lord. You don't have to tell me again. I got it. So he told me 24 chapters, and I still don't get it. I'm still too often a miserable comforter, right? And then we got to Ezekiel. My, we had 26 chapters of idolatry and immorality. And at about the fourth chapter again, people were starting to say, is this ever going to end? You know, are we ever going to get out of this? Being reminded of immorality and idolatry? Well, look at the world today. We're totally into immorality and idolatry, Lord. So we need to be reminded on these things. And we have, as I mentioned last time, 12 prayers of complaints here in the Bible. And every time it's a complaint, it upsets the Lord. So if we're involved with something that displeases the Lord, it would probably remind us, don't do it, right? So how's your complaint scale today? We had it last week. We'll have it again today. And we look at the children of Israel and we say, how could they complain all the time? God's done everything for them. And then we look at ourselves and we're complaining and we don't have 1% of what they had to go through. Just think, in the wilderness march, they were averaging 100 people a day dying. You had 3 million people take their little shovels and go outside and do their business. Think of that. They had no running water. They had no electricity. They had no protection from the elements other than in the cloud and the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And they're going, because of their unbelief, they're going to look forward to 40 years of this. 40 years. Think of that. I couldn't stand 24 hours of it, Riley, without really complaining, right? So here they are. But, you know, we had the great prayer when they made their first trip and came back. And they were saying, yes, you know, God, go up before us and smite our enemies when we go. And when we come back, restore us and everything was so great. Well, immediately right after that is where we were last week. They get down to Taberah, and they start to complain. And it doesn't really even tell us why they complained. They just complained, and it made God so upset, he set a fire around and started to burn up the people. Now, that's serious. If you're making the Lord angry enough to start a fire to burn you up, I think that ought to get our attention. So I'm sure they learned their lesson, right? Well, we finished that in verse 3, so he called the name of the place Taberah because the fire of the Lord had burned against them. Verse 4 is now. Now, we don't know how far that now is. It doesn't have to mean in 10 seconds, but probably it's not too long after that. Now, the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, so the children of Israel again wept and said, who will give us meat to eat? Now, they've had manna now for a year. And God is providing, I don't know if I mentioned it last time or not, it's estimated 9 million pounds, 9 million pounds wow. A day of manna. You think you got a problem that God can't solve? Mm. 9 million pounds of manna a day. Now, he's going to provide meat for them all for a month. So if that's 9 million pounds a day of manna, I'm sure the meat is going to weigh more than the manna. That was like grain, like seeds. So he's going to provide meat for 3 million people for a month. So don't think that the Lord is limited. Don't think the Lord is limited with respect to the evil in the world. He's going to wipe it all out.
Yes.
But at his time. Mm-hmm. So now we go on in. They're so freaked out about, and they have a selective memory here. They go right back to, oh, now they've only been out of Egypt a little over a year, right? And they said, oh, we want to go back to Egypt. We had melons, we had leeks, we had garlic, we have all the fish we could eat. Oh, it was so wonderful there. Now, most of them don't even have the scars on their back from the whips of their slavery healed yet. I mean, you know, they're maybe healed, but I mean, still there. And they forget all about that, and they just remember what they don't have, right? And every time I look at this, I think, just like me. just so much like me. So they all go to their tents now. In verse 10, the people, Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families. Now remember, I didn't mention this, but I'd have before, but the mixed multitude is always a problem. The mixed multitude starts the complaining, and immediately it's so contagious it goes throughout the whole camp. But first recommendation, be careful of mixed multitudes that you spend time with. I'm not talking about mixing with them and ministering to them and witnessing to them, but I'm talking about surrounding yourself with them on a continuing basis and getting that mixed multitude input into your life. Now, I'd even go further and take it all the way to, what do you read? Are you reading the Word every day, or are you reading nothing but men's books every day? I'm not talking about a legalistic standpoint. I'm just talking about, what are you feeding yourself? Because all the books of the world are really from mixed multitudes to a degree, because the only thing that's all true is the Bible. And the only thing that's a word of God is true, the word of God is the Bible. So be careful of mixed multitudes. But anyway, the mixed multitudes started this. But now, Moses heard the weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. And now we see what happened. The anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Woo! The Lord doesn't like that. He doesn't like taking this complaining and ending up crying about how bad things are. It displeases him. So now Moses prays. Now, this isn't the greatest prayer in the world. He's going to complain five times in his prayer, right? But something for us to learn. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? Now he's talking about himself. Yeah. Poor me. Well, I'll tell all of it and then we'll go back over it. But why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight? And you have laid the burden of all these people on me. Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to your fathers? Where am I going to get meat to feed all these people? I'm not able to bear all these people alone. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. Wow. Can you believe that's our wonderful Moses?
It's just like us.
So what is going on here? Well, Moses is complaining. He's angry. And the first thing, he says, why have you afflicted your servant? So when you're going through something, I think that's a very normal question for all of us to say, why am I afflicted like this? But take it to the Lord. Don't be telling everybody else how bad things are for you. Take it to the Lord. And after you take it to him, trust him, right? Don't keep saying, well, I took it to the Lord, but I'm going to tell everybody how bad things are. No, you've given it to him. Take it to the Lord. He's never going to give you more than you can handle. He's always going to bring you through any trial and difficulty better than you went into it, because he loves you and he's using that to bring you more like Christ. So he says, why have you afflicted your servant? And now he says, why have I not found favor in your sight? Can you imagine that? He is so highly favored, but he doesn't see it that way right now, because he looks at it as a burden. He thinks he's so important. He's elevated himself beyond what God is asking him to do. I think that's what burnout typically is. People try to do too much. They certainly try to do too much in their own strength and in their own power. And they try to put themselves in the position. They don't try, but they put them. So we put ourselves in position.
Yeah.
Well, if I fail on this, the whole thing's going to come crashing down. Get that out of your mind. It doesn't depend on you.
Amen.
Nothing the Lord really is going to do depends on you.
Amen.
He will let you share in His glory by doing what you want Him to do. There are things that we can do. We want to show our His love to the world, right? But we can't save anybody, can we? Oh, I'm so burdened about the lost. Yes, that's good, but what can you do about it? You can pray about it, and you can show them God's love. But if you're all burdened down with sadness and all about the lost, that's no witness at all, is it? I don't think so. So he said, why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on whom? God never said, Moses, I'm going to raise you up to carry the burden of these people. Never. He said, I'm going to raise you up to lead these people, right? To encourage these people. So as his child, as we look at ourselves, if you're feeling too much pressure, if you're feeling too much burden, if you're so tired and worn out, that's not from the Lord. That's from you. Maybe prompted by the other side. Really good things for me to read these things. And then he goes on, now, did I conceive all these people? So if you have others around you who are weaker or who are in difficulties or whatever, what is your reaction? Lord, I'm tired of all these problem people. I didn't bring them into the world. They're not my kids. Is that your reaction? That's what Moses is here, basically. Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom? He never said to carry them in his bosom. God has never told you to carry anyone, because you can't. Bear their burdens to a degree, yeah, but you can't carry them. Only he can do that, right? Carry them as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers. He didn't say carry them, he said lead them. But Moses sees himself as being burdened down with 3 million people on his shoulders. I'd be complaining too, wouldn't you, if you had to do that? And now where am I to get meat to feed all these people? Was Moses ever told by the Lord to provide food for them? Did Moses have anything to do with the manna? Nothing. Don't Moses have anything to do with the water? Well, you say he struck the rock. Yeah, he struck the rock, but he didn't cause the water to come out. God caused the water to come out.
Right.
Moses, you're not to provide shelter, water, or food for these people. That's my job, the Lord would say. So he says, where am I going to get meat to give these people? For they weep over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. And he says, I'm not able to bear all these people alone. He's not able to bear even one of them alone, not let alone 3 million, just like you and I. We're to be concerned and care for others, but he's not saying you take care of them, meet all their needs. You cannot meet all of anyone's needs. So Moses said, I'm not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. Now here's where he really loses it. If you treat me like this, is God treating him like that? No way. God isn't saying all this burden on. And now he said, if you treat me like this, kill me now.
Oh, poor Moses.
Poor Moses. Poor me. How was the last time you thought, man, life is so hard, I don't even want to go on.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go to heaven. I see that every day people say, I can't wait for the rapture. I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait to get out of here.
Yeah, we all do.
And that's partially good, but he wants us to be looking forward to that. But usually it's not given in that way. Usually it's an escape request. I want out of here.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think that's good for us. He's got us here for a reason.
Amen.
And when he's done with that reason, we're out of here. So if you're still here, it means he's got you here for a reason. So if you're complaining, I want out, you're basically telling the Lord, Lord, you don't know what you're doing by keeping me here. I do, you don't. I don't think so. Big point. So have I got everybody's attention yet? Are you tired of all this?
Oh, yeah.
Give us a break. When are you going to get to the good stuff here? Well, there isn't a lot of good stuff in this one, really, and we'll get there eventually.
But
he does kind of end up on a little higher note there now, however. He says, if I have found favor in your sight, do not let me see my wretchedness. So maybe he's recognizing now a little bit, hey, I'm kind of popping off at the Lord a lot here, and it's really not right. It's really from my own wretchedness, really. So that's where we will end today. Just finishing out this chapter a little bit, just so you know what happened. But then the Lord said, now the Lord answers this prayer. The Lord says to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel. So the Lord is saying, get some help. Get some help. Get some help to do what you know needs to be done that man can do, and get some help. Don't try to do it all yourself. We talked about that before. If you have one person trying to serve 3 million people, and that person works 24 hours a day, they could only really meet, maybe 100 or whatever, a few of them. Out of 3 million, that's not much. But if you have 70 people appointing another 70, another 70, another 70, but we had captains of thousands and tens and so forth. Now you've got a lot of helpers out there to help people, right? And maybe you've got hundreds of helpers out there. Well, I can guarantee you, as capable as you are, you're not more capable than hundreds of others. Probably not of three or four of others, really. So this is what he says, I'll send you 70 elders. Then I will come down and talk with you. I will take of the spirit that is upon you. Now notice this. Moses is totally minimizing the divine nature of a believer. Your divine nature, my divine, how God has equipped us. So equipped us to do whatever he has for us to do. Never in your own strength. He's not looking for you in your own strength. That gets in the way. He's not looking for capability in man. He's looking for availability to be totally emptied of yourself and just to do what he has for you. And he always will enable you to do what he's asking you to do. Think of that. Yeah, we want to study. We want to learn the Bible and those kinds of things. It's not that we want to go without knowledge, but it's not on us. It's on what he's enabling us to do. He just wants us to do what he's asking us to do. He does want to set himself apart. He says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow you shall eat meat. Tomorrow. Moses must be thinking, tomorrow, where am I going to get all this meat for 3 million people by tomorrow? Well, God doesn't say that. God says, you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord who will give us meat to eat. The Lord will do it. For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat and you shall eat. Wow. Beautiful. Not for a day, nor 10 days, nor 5 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you because you have despised the Lord. So the Lord is telling us, I'll give you what you want, but you're going to get sick of it. It's going to come out of your nose. Wow, that's gross, isn't it? And Moses said, these people who I am among are 600,000 on foot. Yet you said, now Moses still doesn't believe him. You said, I will give you them meat that they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them or to provide enough for them? Look at doubting Moses here. Because he can't see it in his own capability, right? Just like us, right? We can't see it in our own capability, so it's not going to be done. How often have I been there? And the Lord said to Moses, I love it, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Have you ever asked that to the Lord? Has his causing him to say, has my arm been shortened? Do you doubt me? Do you doubt him, what he can do? Now you shall see what I say will happen to you or not. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they never prophesied, although they never did so again. And the two that remained in the camp. One was Eldad and one was Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. And then Moses, Joshua, I guess, ran to Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Tell them to stop. Yeah, it says, so Moses, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of the choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the people's, the Lord's people, were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon all of them. And Moses returned to the camp, he and his elders, and then a wind went through, and then the quail were provided. Well, Father, we thank you for this wonderful example here in this scripture. It really makes us think, at least it makes me think, and how much am I just like the complaining Israelites, Lord? They had received so much, but not nearly as much as we've received. Not nearly as much. The Messiah has come. The Messiah has paid the price of my sin. The Messiah has granted me forgiveness. And because of believing in him and receiving that gift, we have become, we've been changed into children of God. And you have said, he who lives and believes in me will never die. We can't die. We can't die. So anyone who's running around saying, I'm really afraid I'm going to die, they're not really talking a believer. They're not really talking right. They're talking about this body's going to die. But this body is really not even you. It's just a tent that we're presently housed in. The real us is the soul and the spirit. So, Lord, much to pray for today, always. Thank you for the progress that seems to be going on in the Hamas situation. We don't know yet, but by the end of the day, we probably will. And it appears that they have agreed to at least releasing the hostages, but we'll see what you have there. The government shutdown and all that stuff, Lord, we just see the man doing what he wants to do, and no statesman really at all, just a party affiliation and all that hatred and all that stuff. But we want to pray for that. We want to pray for strength for the godly leaders in our government, and we don't deserve any of them, but you've given us quite a few right now. And so, Lord, we want to be praying for them. We want to be praying for the church, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes. Such a kind of awakening right now to a degree after the assassination and so forth. And many are coming to the Lord, we hear. We thank you. And we also, corresponding to that, is the evil abounding, and it will continue, and we want to pray against that. But we want to pray really with the right proper focus on victory, Lord, because there's no one beyond the capability to be saved. And we have so many opportunities to do good in the spite of all the evil or in the face of all the evil. And that's all you want us to do, is to do good. We can't eradicate it. We can't eliminate it. And we can pray for people to be in the Word, we can pray for people to be in prayer, we can pray for the people to be worshiping you, for assembling themselves with the body of Christ, yes. And Lord, the various things that you would put on our hearts. So may we go to prayer now, in Jesus' name. Well, we kind of come to the end of the time together this morning, and Father, we thank you for your calling our attention to what you think about complaining. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Lord, as we recognize the problems we've been talking about are because the kingdom of darkness is violently opposed to the kingdom of light. Mm-hmm. I thank you for the peace in this nation so far, generally from the Muslims. The biggest problems we've been having have been our own lawlessness, not necessarily from Islam, but the Islam is worldwide, and they're fighting for their way stronger than we're fighting for the truth. And so, Lord, as people look at us, do they really see a difference? Do they really see us as being in the kingdom of light with something that they want? And that they want you, Lord. They see your love in us. They see your Holy Spirit in us. And that would draw them. Now, we know the enemy's against that. But the enemy is so limited in their... They have no answers. And there are people every day that are coming to you because they see they're on the wrong track. Help us to see the right track in us, Lord. And help us not to be casual, as we've talked about this morning. Leave it to the Lord and leave it to the Lord. We are to pray, Lord. We are to pray with a burden for those things that are right, Lord, not that we can do anything but bring them to you and say, Lord, as we've mentioned this morning too, we don't want to grieve you, Holy Spirit. We want to hate that. And we don't want to be sinning. Help us to hate that. And help us to love those things that you love.
Yes.
So as we close today, let us just remember your name here, at your name.
At your name, the mountain shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name,
we thank you for meeting us here.
Thank you.
Help us to shout your name of joy, Lord.
Yes, everyone.
We praise you. We worship you. We want to glorify your name today.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Guide each one of us as we go our separate ways and May there be a light shining out of each one of us because of what you put in there through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.